in the verses that we've been dealing with, it's repeatedly said, Eshaha Atma, the Atma. Atma means the self, yourself. Eshaha, this self, this Atma. That means this Atma, the self, myself. That is here, that is present. It is this self that is here, that is present, myself, that is the self in all beings. It is this self that is the self in all beings. When you say this self, Esha Atma, it is speaking to the self-evident nature of my being. Swatta Siddha, the Atma is Swatta Siddha. Swatta Self Siddha, evident. I am self-evident. Nothing else is self-evident. Everything else must be illumined by me in order for it to shine. In order for it to be known, I need a mind, sense organs, in order for these experiences to be known, for thoughts to be known. I need a thought modification, which then I illumine, that allows it to be known. My eyes will give me a thought modification of color and form, which then I illumine in order for them to be known. They are not self-evident. Swatta Siddha. They are not Swaprakasha, self-luminous, self-shining. Yourself, the conscious being that you are, is self-evident. You don't require sense organs to illumine consciousness. Consciousness illumines sense organs, sense perception. Sense perception doesn't illumine consciousness. Consciousness illumines your mind, your thoughts, your feelings. Your thoughts, your mind does not illumine consciousness. consciousness is its own luminary. The conscious being that I am is self-luminous, self-shining. Nothing lights me up. I am my own light. In the Upanishad says, Esha Atma, the self that I am, is Brahman. The self that I am is the self in all beings. The self that I am is changeless, unwritten, free from death, free from change. This conscious being that I am and the conscious being that I know myself to be. The one who indwells the body, indwells the mind, is free of the body, free of the mind. Om Bhadram Karane Vishnuyamate Vaha Bhadram Pashe Makshapir Yachatraha Stirai Rangai Istushtuvagum Sastanupihi Vyashema Devahitam Yadayuhu Swastina Indro Vrittashravaha Swastina Pusha Vishwavedaha Swastina Sarcho Arishanemihi Swastino Brahaspatir Gatatu Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Run verse 6. Para Iva Ratana Bhau Para Iva Ratana Bhau Samhata Yatranadhyaha Samhata Yatranadhyaha Sa Esho Antaha Charate Bahudha Jayamanaha Charate Bahudha Jayamanaha Om Ityevam Jayata Atmanam Om Ityevam Jayata Atmanam Swasti Swasti Vaparaya Swasti Vaparaya Tamasat Parastat Tamasat Parastat. Raha Viva Ratana Rata Nabhau Samhata Yatra Samataha Yatra Nadyaha Saha Eshaha Antaha Charate Bahudha Jayamanaha Om Iti Evam Jayatha Atmanam Swasti Vaha Paraya Tamasaha Parastat. Araha. Araha are spokes, like spokes in a wheel. Araha Iva. Remember Iva? I can make Atma Bodha for the Sanskrit students. Araha Iva, like the spokes, Ratanabhau, on the hub, Nabi, on the hub of a Rata, chariot wheel. The idea, the Ratanabhi is the chariot wheel at the hub of a chariot wheel. Rata just means chariot, but Nabi is the hub of a wheel. So just like the spokes centered on the hub of the chariot wheel, Samhita, those spokes which are Samhita, collected there, gathered there, because all of the spokes come to that central point. So just like all of these spokes, the spokes collect there at this central point of the wheel of the chariot. Yatra, on which Nadyaha, so like that, on whom the nadis are gathered, are collected. The nadis of let me just finish this part and I'll take the nadis up. That one, Saha Eshaha, that one who is this? Saha Eshaha is this one, Antaha, inside. That one who is this one inside, who charate, moves about, bahudha jayamanaha, being born variously. Being born, bahudha is an indeclinable, it means in many ways. Jayamanaha means being born, it's being born in many ways, inside. That one who is inside means in the buddhi, we'll see in a minute. But saha, he who, esha, he who is this one, who is antaha, saha, esha, antaha. He who is this one, who is antaha, inside, charate, moving about, changing. Jayamanaha, present participle passive, jayamanaha, being, we haven't learned it yet for most of you, jayamanaha, who is being born bahudha in many ways. Om iti evam jayata atmanam. may you contemplate Jayate. May you contemplate on Atma, on the Self, accusative singular, imperative, Jayate. May you meditate on, may you contemplate on Atmanam, that Self, in this manner, Evam, Om. Om iti. May you contemplate on that Self, Evam, in this manner, as Om. Om iti Evam, Jayate, Atmanam. Okay? Swasti Vaha. Swasti Vaha means, may it work out well for you. May there be a blessed ending. May all blessings be with you. For you, that Vaha means for you. So Swasti, blessings for you. May this all work out well for you. Swasti Vaha. What's he mean? Paraya. May Swasti Vaha Paraya. May it work out well for you for what? For getting to the other shore. May you be blessed, may you be enabled for crossing over to the other shore, Paraya, Data, okay? Tamasaha Parastat. Beyond, Parastat is an indeclinable, means beyond. Tamasaha, ignorance. Beyond from ignorance. Beyond other from tamas, okay? So, may this all work for you. May you be blessed to get to the other shore. To get to the other side of ignorance. Right? May you get to the other side beyond this tamas, beyond this ignorance. So that's the verse. So let's take a look at it. Some nice things in here. The word nadi. The nadis are, they're like subtle arteries. Now if you have the heart, you've got the heart, and from the heart, all of the veins and arteries go and pump the blood throughout the body. So the heart is really, in that sense, the center of the life force. It's where the life force in the physical body is located. And all of the veins and arteries come in and out of this heart, and the pumping of the heart is what keeps a person going. So on a subtle level, the nadis, which are also considered to be located in the heart, these nadis are like, in a sense, subtle energies, kind of like acupuncture. Like the nadis are sometimes likened to the acupuncture meridians. Now, but the subtle energy centers or energy lines that center in the heart, which is considered to be kind of the home base for the subtle body, right? This for the sukshma sharira. If we were to say, well, where's the subtle body located, where is its home base in reference to the physical body? You sometimes do this, even though what is subtle is not really located in what is physical. But just traditionally, we use this physical body as a marker for the subtle body. And so, like the what I mean by that is we say, as you relax your body, place your consciousness, place your mind in your heart, in this particular sthana. Or sometimes in a meditation we'll say, place your mind right here in your third eye. In fact, the Bhagavad Gita in the sixth chapter talks about that. Just as you relax, just put your consciousness here in this third eye, this chakra, this eye of wisdom area, and just focus there. Often you put it here in the heart, just a little bit to the right of the heart, right here. As a sthana, it's as a placement. It's a place to just locate your consciousness. You can also say, put your consciousness right above your head, right here, you know. But you're locating yourself in reference to the physical body, right? And so now, if you look at the nadis, which, let's see like this. The whole nervous system, for one thing, penetrates through the whole physical body, right? Your arteries, on a physical level, your arteries penetrate, go all the way through your arteries and veins go all the way right through. Your nervous system goes all the way through. Imagine a subtle form of that, right? The energy goes all the way through the body. So that can be called the nadis. They use this term a lot in yoga and go into a lot of detail with it. We don't go into a lot of detail on it, but it's used. But anyway, so it's a term that's used. So now what he says is, just like the spokes are centered on the hub of a wheel, like that, all of the nadis are centered there in the buddhi, is what I'm saying. They're centered there in the buddhi, in the sukshma sharira. So in there, he says, this atma abides in this buddhi, sa esha antaha, this inside, and this atma moves around inside, taking on many different forms. Okay, so what does that mean? Without the buddhi, without the mind, you don't have, as a jiva, you don't have access to consciousness. Let me explain. Like, for instance, if you were to lose your eyes, so you were to be blind, your eyes now don't have access to consciousness. See what I mean? Because they don't work. They're not capable now of allowing you to have a thought modification. Right? If you lose your sense of touch, wherever you've lost your sense of touch, that sense organ is now not functioning. It doesn't have access to consciousness. The rug, from its own standpoint, we're talking from the standpoint of the rug, the standpoint of the body, the standpoint of this table. From its own standpoint, it doesn't have access to consciousness, even though the substance of this whole thing is consciousness. On that level, there is nothing here but consciousness. But this table can't say, I am consciousness. It can't say, what is my reality? You know? A dead body can't say, who am I? Right? The one that has access, right, to that recognition is the buddhi. Right? And that buddhi is what is really kind of the place where consciousness is to be found. Right? Now think about this. There's nothing here, and I'm assuming a lot of knowledge here from prior unfoldments, and we'll get around to it, but just assuming that. Say there is nothing here but consciousness. Just like in the ocean, there's nothing there but water, right? But, like there's nothing there but water, but the wave has to have the capacity to recognize, I am water, right? And so a human wave can recognize, it has the capacity to recognize I am water, but a chair wave doesn't have that capacity. It's not any more or less consciousness. Right? The chair wave is as much consciousness as the human wave. Everybody see that? So this table is as much consciousness as is the space, as is the rug, as is this body, as is this mind, as are the sense organs. But the table doesn't have the capacity to recognize I am consciousness. From its standpoint, it's inert. And so, in fact, this table enjoys consciousness in the form of it is known. Right? The table is known, but it doesn't get to be a knower. Whereas, for a human being, my body is known, my sense organs are known, right? My mind is known, just like the table is known. But there's a difference that not only is my mind known, it reflects consciousness in a sense and gets to take itself as a knower. Right? It gets to reflect on itself. The table doesn't get to reflect on itself. So now look at this. Even though the mind is known, it is also a knower, right? The mind is known, but it's also a knower because it's because of my mind that I know my sense organs and then I know the objects of knowledge that I'm perceiving. So the mind is both a knower and a known. And because of that, the mind has this is in an unusual situation where it not only totally enjoys consciousness, it totally enjoys consciousness to the point that it itself can say, I am consciousness. This is the trick right here. The table isn't any less consciousness, but the mind enjoys consciousness and can say, I am consciousness. So that means that the mind, which is nothing but consciousness, also has ignorance of the nature of consciousness, because it says, I am consciousness. So because of that, this mind, which says, I am the self, okay? Everybody with me on this? It's really, because this is right here in the verse. Your mind says, I am the self. I am me. Right? I am the conscious being. And it is correct in the sense that it is the conscious being. It is the self. There isn't any other consciousness. And so the consciousness that it enjoys is the conscious being. But for the mind is always changing. Right? It's mithya. Right? The mind is always changing. So this mind then, how does the self appear? It appears to always being born in many, many different ways. This Bahudha Jayamanaha. So this Atma, which is inside, right? I'm not out there. That's not how I experience myself. Here I am sitting here. In fact, I am inside and outside. I'm the whole. But I mean it's a jiva. I'm sitting here experiencing myself as inside. Because the sthana of the mind, because of the mind that reflects consciousness and is ignorant of the stability of myself. So my mind says, I am the conscious being, and therefore, and it is true, because there is no other conscious being, but because the mind is always changing, here it says, sa eshaha, that one who is Brahman, that one who is inside, right, who is inside, is antaha, bahudha jayamanaha. That one is being born variously, changing all the time. Okay? So now what has to happen? That being the case, right? That being the case, that this self has been recognized as the one who seems to be seemingly changing all the time, now what do you have to do? Well, now you must meditate on that Atma. You must reflect on that Atma, Jayata Atmanam. You must reflect on that self. How? Evam, in this manner. Om. Okay. What is that? Esha Atma, this self, which is appearing to be moving in and out variously, this Atma is Om. So now when I say, if I say Om Iti, if I meditate on the Atma as Om, what does Om stand for? I have to take this sacred syllable and use it as a point of reference for meditation, where I'm going to repeat this mantra, Om, 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 Om. As I repeat it, what should my mind be doing? Is it the one that is moving around, right? This mind has got to take a hold of, as we have in these previous verses, like the bow of the Om. This mind has got to take hold of this Om. And as I say Om, and the Om resolves into the silence, what do I know? Well, from the meaning of the word Om, right? Om is a name for Brahman. So if I say Om, what that Om stands for is the manifestation of the entire creation. The A is the whole manifest creation. It's what we call Virat, right? The manifestation of the whole. So it's a manifestation of infinite knowledge. I say the A. The U of Om is the whole subtle creation, subtle upadhi, from the, on a physical, on the total level, on the individual level. When I say it's the causal. And the silence is what? Is Brahman. And so now, instead of my mind just changing around, moving variously in this way or that way, assuming this form and that form, so now I'm happier, now I'm sad, now I'm thinking, now I'm reflecting, now I'm reading, now I'm doing this, which is the normal. Now what has happened is that Om, that mind is grabbing on to Om and letting the Om resolve into my being. And so now, the thing to understand here is when this, as this teaching takes place, You know, as these unfoldments take place, what happens is that the words that we use gain meaning, right? The words that we use gain meaning. If we were to start, say, the first time you came to class, and we used the word Atma, and I didn't translate it, just used the word Atma, we might as well have said gagubuga. That the word has no meaning. But what happens as this teaching unfolds, and you see from all different angles, the words begin to have meaning. So that now the word Atma, you know, the Atma in the self, meaning the self, is not something that just automatically, the word just automatically hooks onto your physical body, right? Like if you say, I am the body, I am this body, that's how you start. But as you go on, this I that used to be just equated naturally to the body, I am the body, now becomes loosened, right? The I becomes loosened from the body. It becomes loosened from the mind. So then now your I starts to gain, to be recognized differently as being something which is asanga. Asanga means this I is not something that is attached. It's not I am the body. So that I am not away from the body, but my being is not the body, right? My being can be without the body. That's the asanga. So I start, what happens is that these words that we use start gaining meaning. They start becoming loaded, you know, with something other than what I knew about before, right? So now they're starting to, the words are to starting to describe my experience in a different way. And so now instead of, even in the guided meditation, if I say, you know, I, the one who am the body, I, the one who am the self, indwelling the body, this self is Brahman, right? This self is the self in all beings. What if we started out, you come to class for the first time, I give a meditation, and we say, yourself is the self in all beings. What does it mean? It doesn't mean anything. So say now, you say, doesn't mean anything, but anyway, we'll do a meditation on it anyway. I am the self in all beings. 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 What does self mean? Who is the self in all beings? Who am I that am the self in all beings? So these words, what has to happen here is because you are here. You know, that's the Esha Atma. You are here. You are present as I am. The very one, when you say I am, it is that one that the Upanishads are talking about. So it is this Atma that is present. Now this Atma has to be recognized differently. And that's what the whole teaching is about, is to make you recognize yourself differently. Because before teaching takes place, you are there as you, but the mind has a total identification with you. So that it says, I am me. The mind says, I, the one who is continually changing and manifesting differently, I am the self. To understand the problem, it's not wrong. This is the tricky part. The mind is saying, I am the self. The self that it is referring to when it says, I am the self, is the self. There's no other self. There's no hidden self. There's no self to be realized in meditation through an exalted experience. The mind that says, I am the self, that me, that you identify with, that is the self, the self. So that's the Esha Atma. Now what has to happen is that this self has to gain a new name. Instead of, I am Miss Body, you know, it has to gain a new name. So that when you say that name, when you say, you know, I am, or when you bring out just the name, the name for Brahman, then when you say that, When you say that, it brings to mind all of your knowledge. The word Om is loaded with all of the Upanishads. The entire vision of all of the Upanishads is loaded in the word Om. In fact, the whole Mandukya Upanishad is that. And so say now, as this teaching continues, and you recognize the nature of yourself as the whole. Let's say like this. Once as the teaching becomes clear, and you can say a sentence like, I am the whole. Right? That's just three words, I am the whole. When you say, I am the whole, that means I, this self, is the subject. I am you. I am the table. I am the space. I am the subject and I am the object. Right? I am the water of the ocean. Right? So I have to recognize that if I say, I am the whole. Now, say you say, so now, you come to class, you've never been in class before, the teacher says, you are the whole. It means nothing. Later, after exposure, teacher says, you are the whole. You see, I am the whole. See what I mean? You see, I am the whole. Now, what about when the teacher teaches Om? Or the word Om is revealed, the meaning of the word Om is revealed. Once you see the meaning of the word Om as including this, I am the whole, then you use this, you use the word Om to bring the truth of this whole situation to mind. And it's interesting here because now he says, well, see, they're going to move on to the next verse. But he's already given three verses, really, talking about the whole Mahavakya, that I am the whole. And so now he goes, all right, let's practice. Let's practice this meditation using Om as the bow, and where your mind sharpened through dhyana, through the practice of meditation, let the mind, using this word Om, which really signifies the whole manifest creation, it signifies Brahman, it's a name for Brahman, it's a name for Ishwara. Okay? Om is a name for Ishwara. Let's use this word Om to own up this knowledge. To own up the knowledge. Because here you are sitting here as an upadi. Here's the jiva upadi here. This physical body sitting here. Now, sitting here in the heart, you know, is your subtle body. Right? Is the heart. Here's the center where the buddhi is located. So just imagine your mind, your buddhi being here. The whole body, all of the energy really is focused there. So here in the buddhi, you are. This is where it is here that you can know yourself. It's not that you're not here and here and here and here. But it's here in the buddhi, that you can know yourself. Okay? And so then here in this place, where you're continually changing, which is your experience. First I'm thinking of this, then I'm feeling this, then I'm feeling this. So here in this place, where you are continually changing, from the standpoint of the upadhi, right? From the standpoint of the upadhi. It's here, you, located here. Now, let yourself meditate on Om. Let yourself meditate. So it's talking to you, the mind, the jiva. Here, in this place, you know, where you seem to be changing because of the upadhi, because of the mind. Now, let that mind meditate on Om. And meditating on Om, right? Meditating on this, it says actually literally, meditate on the self, on yourself, the one who is here, seated in the mind, in the buddhi. Now, meditate on that one as Om. Okay? Meditate on that one as Om. And then, through doing this, may you cross over. Right? May you cross over to the other side and get beyond this ignorance. Cross over to the other side, get to the other shore, and then get to this, get to the other side of ignorance. Also, okay, so now, just as an Ajnani doesn't have to walk around saying, and doesn't walk around saying, I am the body, and 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 the body. More in the body, in the body, in the body. Japa. In the body, in the body, in the body, in the body. You have nishta in I am the body. Right? Jnana nishta. You're the knowledge is firm. Right? Your knowledge is, even if it's mitya jnanam, it's a false cognition, but you have mitya jnana nishta. You know, rootedness in that false cognition. Right? And you have lifetimes of experience backing up that false cognition. Okay? And so now the teaching comes along and makes you see. Say you're mumukshu, your mind is available. Right? Your mind is available. Means that when the teaching takes place, your mind is able to just kind of relax and follow along and see. And follow, and your doubts are just one by one, they're being knocked off. Right? So your mind is following along, the doubts are being knocked off, you're seeing, you continue to see, you continue to see, you continue to see. And you walk out the door, and the reeds shut over the mind. Right? As though you didn't see it all. Right? And so he didn't see it all. The reason for that, right, the reason for that is that the impressions of lifetimes and the impressions just of this life have been numerous, total, millions of them. And all of a sudden you expose yourself to this knowledge and you see, you know, but you walk out the door and then what do you have available to you? Your five sense organs, yeah. And your mind, which has spent beginningless lifetime saying, I am me, right? And your sense organs that are verifying that, the jivatvam, right? And so all of a sudden the mind just kind of flips back into the way it's used to being. What are you going to do? You have to bring your mind back. Yeah, it's that simple. You have to bring your mind back. You have to say, no, wait a minute. Om. If you know what Om means, that's enough. If you know Asangoham, that's enough. If you just know yourself and say, no, wait a minute, I'm me, that's enough. But you have to bring your mind back. Because it has lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes of getting lost out in the world as being a jiva. And until, you know, that nishta is there, and it doesn't get lost, you know, You bring it in. How do you do it? Om, here in this, Om iti evam. In this way, you just say Om. That's if the word Om means something to you. You can't just this. And this is another kind of New Age thing. Om is a magical word. It's a sacred word. Say it all as well. That's not, you know, Om is a sacred syllable. It is a sacred syllable, you know, and it may have its own shakti. I accept all of that. Thousands and thousands and thousands of years in the Shastra, it's considered as a very sacred syllable. You know, not to be treated lightly or bantered around. It's a word, it's a sacred word. And maybe even in terms of the vibratory qualities, there is something very healing and very special about that word. Right? But when the word is being used for upasana or to give knowledge, you have to know what the word means. Yeah. If the word is going to be removing ignorance or bringing back your mind to yourself, then you need to know what that word means. And then when you say the word Om, it just clarifies everything. It's a word that holds everything. You don't have to use that word. You can use that word for you just as a sacred syllable, just to relax and calm the mind. But if you know what the word means, then when you say Om, it just brings the whole vision to you. See what I'm saying? It brings the whole vision to you. And so by doing that, until the mind has that nishta, that rootedness, it just sees clearly. You just use that word and it brings everything back to you. There's other mantras you can use that have meaning. Whether you say, I am the whole, and you know what that means, then that's very meaningful. If you say, asangoham, my being, you know, is never touched, it's never attached. If you already know that, this is the thing for understanding the use of these mantras in Nididhyasana. If you know what asangoham means, asangaha aham, I am attached, you already know that about yourself, that your being is changeless, that no matter what is going on in your mind, nothing is happening to you. If you have that knowledge, experientially means you recognize the truth of that, of your being in that way, then those words mean something. When you say that to yourself, asangoham, those words just resolve into the truth of it. And in doing that, you get rid of the reaction or the forgetfulness or getting lost in a mind that is still capable of getting lost. You're just bringing the mind back. There comes a time when you know yourself, you don't have to say anything. If your mind is getting lost or acting as though you don't have any knowledge, you just bring your mind back to yourself. You don't have to say anything. You know, you don't have to say anything because you're you. You know, look what your mind's doing. Just bring it back to you because you know who you are. Right? But until that nishta is there, you can use these mantras and these devices very, very effectively. Mm-hmm. You know, because every time, say in the teaching, you've done shravana so that you're clear. What does it do? What is it then when you say, when you use a mantra like Om or Sangoham? What those words contain is all the shravana you've ever done. Right? That is the shravana then. The shravana is now compiled, compressed into one little word, Om or Sangoham or Anandoham. You know? Or whatever it might be. And so here, this is what the Nididhyasana is about. Nididhyasana, which here, meditate on the Om in this manner, you meditate on the Om, it is not to do with creating a state of mind or an experience. In fact, when we do Nididhyasana, before you even begin that type of contemplation, you create that type of mind, a quiet mind, through doing japa or doing pranayama before you even start meditation. Right? You relax your body and talk nicely to your mind and get it to relax nicely. And then do some japa so that the mind now is quiet. You've just kind of relieved it from the burdens, you know, of the day. So it can just abide there quietly. Then when it's abiding there quietly, what do? You bring in a mantra that you know the meaning of, not a badly sound, you know, not gobbledygook sound. It's a mantra you know the meaning of, like asangoham or om namah shivaya, even om, or chaitanyoham or anandoham. You know the meaning. And then what does that mean? That you're just giving your mind an opportunity to resolve into the knowledge that is given at the time of shravana. You're allowing your mind to resolve into what you know, to resolve into the atma that you know. You see the difference? To just make it very clear, what the difference is this. Otherwise, you're using pranayama, breathing exercises, japa, meditative techniques, to have an experience. And you think that is the meditation. You know, you've done all the work that made your mind very quiet, so quiet, and now you're having some sort of an experience. Now we're done. You'd say, not at all. That's, now you've got your mind is quiet. So it's not being engaged in the world anymore, and so the mind is totally available to you. And so now, own up yourself. Recognize who you are. So what you've recognized at the time of teaching, now you say, Anandoham, or Om. And then those words resolve into the self that you already know. It's not about experience, gaining an experience. It's about recognizing the truth of your nature. You see what I'm saying? It's really so important. So he says, so having understood this, having done this, swasti vaha paraya. Good luck to you. may all with Godspeed, may you get to the other shore and get to the other side of this ignorance. Right? Tamasaha parastar. May you get to the other side of this ignorance. So now he says, next verse.
Yaha sarvajnaha sarvavit. Yaha sarvajnaha sarvavit. Yasyaisha mahima bhuvi. Yasyaisha mahima bhuvi. Divye brahmapure yeshaha. Divye brahmapure yeshaha. Vyomnyatma pratishtitaha. Vyomnyatma pratishtitaha. Yaha sarvajnaha sarvavit yasya esha mahima bhuvi. Eshaha, that's eshaha. Divye brahmapure hi eshaha vyomni atma pratishtitaha. This is a famous verse. This Atma, okay? Yaha sarvajnaha, the one who is, he who, yaha, sarvajnaha. Sarvajnaha means the one who knows everything generally. In other words, if I were to look at the whole ocean and I were to recognize that this whole ocean is nothing but water, I see the truth of the whole thing. That's sarvajnaha. So the one who knows the whole, generally the truth of the whole, but also sarvavit. So yaha sarvajnaha sarvavit. The one who not only knows the truth of the whole, but knows all of the particulars, all of the details. So he who is sarvajnaha and he who is sarvavit knows everything in general and also knows all of the details. Yesya, for him, eshaha mahima bhuvi. This glory, eshaha mahima, it is this glory on the earth, bhuvi, on the earth here, this glory that you're experiencing here on the earth, this is his glory, the glory for whom? So let's do the whole verse and I'll get back and tell you. Divye brahmapure hi eshaha vyomni atma pratishtitaha. Says that one, esha atma, is this self who is abiding vyomni in this space in the city of Brahman. Brahmapure is the name for the buddhi, the city of Brahman, which is divye, right, which has conscious, which is luminous. So, that one, just listen to this, it's amazing. The one who is sarvajna means omniscient, knows the whole. And not only knows the whole, knows all of the parts of the whole. So totally omniscient. For that one, it is this universe, this here, that we experience here, which is his glory. So now, what's being said there is, this for Ishvara, for Brahman, which is Ishvara, this entire manifest creation is his knowledge. This is the knowledge, right? This is the knowledge. This body is the knowledge. These sense organs are the knowledge. So for Ishvara, the entire manifest in creation, which includes all of the jivas, which includes all of the minds, which includes all of the mosquitoes, all of the five elements, which includes all that is, all of this is his glory, right? So for Ishvara, this entire creation, in general, is known. The truth of it all is known, sarvajñaha. But for Ishvara also, the entire creation is known in detail, okay, sarvavit. The jnani is different, but the jnani has self-knowledge. So the jnani can be said to be a sarvajñaha, right? Because the jnani knows all of this is consciousness, recognizes the truth, that there is nothing here but consciousness. That's aparoksha jnanam. That's immediate, direct recognition, understanding. That recognition is not different from Ishvara's. Because one self, same fact, that this is nothing but consciousness. Ishvara knows it, the jnani knows it. But for the jnani, and the ajnani as well, there's no sarvavit. You know, there's no omniscience in terms of knowing all that is. Because we require vritti to gain knowledge, right? You gain vritti after vritti after vritti to gain knowledge of the creation. It's called, we have tula vidya, mula vidya. Mula vidya means a vidya of the root ignorance, which is the self-ignorance. We can get rid of the mula vidya and recognize there's nothing here but consciousness. But we can't get rid of what's called this tula vidya, which is the secondary ignorance, which requires vrittis, right? You have thought modifications, born of knowledge, so you're accruing continually. And even if you were to look in terms of the entire universe, the amount of vrittis or knowledge that you would have accrued would be non-noticeable in reference to the entire universe. The size of the vrittis that you've accrued, if you stuck them all together, would be negligible compared to the size of the entire universe. Ishvara does not require a vritti. No vritti required. The entire creation, all that is manifest knowledge. So the one for whom this entire creation is manifest knowledge, right? Who knows the whole generally and the whole specifically, that is what we call Ishvara, and all of this is his glory. Now he says, so the one for whom that is so, Esha Atma, that one is this self. Esha Atma. Right? So that one who is this whole, right, that self is pratishtita, is the one, that Atma is pratishtita, abiding, vyomni, in this space, in the Brahmapuri, in the city of Brahman. In the city of Brahman, which is Vyomni, which is conscious. What they mean, so I was working with this in the meditation and in the first verse also, there's nothing here but consciousness. But where does that consciousness shine? In the Buddhi. So Brahman is to be found in the Buddhi, right? The table's not going to find Brahman. The chair's not going to find Brahman. The buddhi of the human being is able to find, find Brahman means to recognize Brahman. To recognize I am Brahman. To recognize I am the whole. To recognize myself. So that's why the buddhi, the intellect, is called the Brahmapuri, the city of Brahman, because this is where Brahman is manifest. Right? Even though Brahman is the whole, Brahman is manifest in the city. That's why the Brahmapuri is divya. Divye means, it's in the locative here, Divye Brahmapure, two locatives. In this Brahmapuri, which is conscious, right? Which is luminous with consciousness. Vyomni, so in the space of the buddhi, which is the city of Brahman, right? Where Brahman is manifest, which is consciousness. This Atma is located there. This Atma that is who? The Atma that is Sarvavit. That is sarvajna, is sarvavit. The Atma, the self who for whom this entire universe is the manifestation, is his glory. Now, this is an amazing verse because it is this self who is the Sarvavit and the Sarvajnaha. There isn't anything here but Ishvara. Your body, mind, sense organs, buddhi, the ahankara, everything is Ishvara. Because the manifest knowledge, which is the entire creation, right, the entire creation, includes your body, mind, sense organs. And so the self of the whole manifest knowledge, which is the creation, which is a manifestation of the Atma, right, includes all of the jivas. Right? And who is located in the buddhi of all of the jivas? The self, right, from whom this whole manifestation has come. Because the upadhi of the mind reflects that Atma. And so that's why it's called the Brahmapuri, right? And so what is the knowledge for you then? It's not just myself is changeless, that I am changeless infinite consciousness. Yet I am Ishvara. Who is Ishvara? The Atma, the one from whom this manifest knowledge comes. This body, mind, sense organs is part of that manifestation. Whose manifestation? Your manifestation. Your manifestation is as the Atma. Who are you? Are you the Atma, right? Or are you part of the Maya Upadhi? This body, mind, sense organs is part of the Maya Upadhi, is part of Ishvara, right? From whom does Ishvara come? From whom, or what is Ishvara? Let's put it that way. What is Ishvara? Ishvara is the Atma, the self, which, with the Maya Upadhi, going clear back to the beginning of this Upanishad, right, with you, Maya Upadhi, manifests as this entire creation. What is Ishvara's experience, or what is the Atma's experience? From the standpoint of the manifest knowledge, from the standpoint of manifest knowledge or the Maya Upadhi, it is being Sarvavit and Sarvajnaha. That is Ishvara's experience. That is, let's put it this way, that is the Atma's experience from the standpoint of the manifest knowledge. Now let me give you an example just for yourself as a jiva. If you were to shut your eyes and imagine a meadow, if you imagine a meadow, that is manifest knowledge. If you imagine the ocean with a few clouds and a sunny sky with a few clouds passing through, right? So you have your own, every one of us is going to have our own ocean with our own clouds and our own sun, okay? But you have that. So I've asked you to have that now. You have that manifest knowledge, right? That's manifest knowledge. You are the self of that manifest knowledge. From the standpoint of the manifest knowledge, you are Sarvavit and Sarvajnaha. You know you are the whole. Sarvajnaha. Right? If you think of it, from the standpoint, now you have the manifest knowledge, you have the metta. Sarvajnaha. It is known that you are the whole. That manifest knowledge is not away from you. You are its truth, you are its being. And it is your manifest knowledge. That's clear. Right? You are Sarvavit. Because not only do you know I am the whole, you know the whole. Right? It's not that, like here as a jiva, in reference to Ishvara, I know I am the whole. That there's nothing here but consciousness. But I don't have an experience of the whole. I only have an experience of the whole in terms of the nama rupa, of the names and forms that I'm experiencing. I only can experience what I'm having a vritti of. Right? But Ishvara doesn't need a vritti. Ishvara is the vritti. Right? It's the manifest knowledge is the vritti. For you, now you have a vritti. I ask you to have a vritti of a meadow. Right? That's the manifest knowledge. So you know that. The entire The entire vritti is known to you. Think of the creation as one infinite manifestation of knowledge. The whole is known. No vritti, no individual vritti is needed. It in itself is like an infinite vritti. You understand what I mean? So I am the whole of that. That is clear what that is. I have sarvajñaha and I have sarvavid. Just like you have that with an imagination, with every thought that you have, in fact. You are the sarvajñaha and the sarvavit of the thought. Right? But Ishvara is the sarvajñaha and sarvavit of the whole. You are Ishvara. How do you mean? Well, this body, mind, sense organs, moods, emotions, thoughts, feelings, the I thought, all of this is part of that manifest whole. I am the self of that. It is from me that this manifest whole comes. This body, mind, sense organs are part of that. So I am the whole. So that manifest knowledge comes into manifestation, and that's what we call the ah of the of om. Comes into manifestation. The subtle level of that is called u. The resolve of that is called om. And the me, the atma, which is the self of that, is the silence. So meditating on om, what do I see? I am the sarvavit. I am the sarvajñaha. I am the one from whom the creation comes. I sustain the creation, and I'm the one in whom the creation resolves. When I say om, om comes from the silence, is sustained by the silence, dissolves into the silence. That's why om is a symbol for Brahman. And so now when you say om, you know, the creation comes from me, is sustained by me, and resolves into me. In fact, all of this is myself alone. And this body, mind, sense organs is part of this manifest creation, which is Ishvara, which is my being. I'll stop there. Just take a minute. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.